Welcome everybody to a very special service this morning. And my name is Jonathan Fisher, and we have been worshipping here in Cogs since 1980, Val and my wife, and three children who have now moved on. So it's a real joy to share with you this service. It's a particularly special service today because we're going to be talking about and sharing with you about various activities and mission activities that our church is partnering with. That's an awful word, isn't it? Before we get started, though, let's sing. Let's worship God as we sing, "God, you made our big blue sky." There are one or two sort of things you might want to be aware of during the course of the service. It's not going to be me sort of standing at the front leading the whole thing. We've got about four different presentations, and we will be using video quite a lot. So, are you hearing that? And the other thing to be aware of is that we'll be taking an offering today. And it'll be done differently. Hillary will be explaining to us how it's going to be done differently. But it'll be very, very noisy. And there will be a video going on at the same time. Because the idea is that we sort of experience offering in the way that it would be done in a Burundian church. So just a warning ahead of time that you'll be expected to come up the front and give your offering rather than someone coming out to you. So you're aware of that. Today we're going to spend a little time hearing about different missions and individuals and groups we're in partnership with. Two are from overseas and two working here in Whitney. And as we're also going to hear from something bang up to date as well, if I can remember to bring it in, because some of you are aware that a couple from our church have been in Calais very recently. As we get started, we want this service to be where we both worship God and learn about his work and his work with children who are involved across the globe. But I want to pose one question to all of us today to ponder. What is God asking me to do? What is asking you to do? What is asking us as a church to do? When we talk about mission to the church, there are three responses we hope people will make. To pray, to give, and to go, or go. You can respond by one or more of these, and our prayer is that you will hear God's prompting today to involve yourself in some way in mission, in the missions that we highlight, or indeed some of the many other activities that our church also is involved with. At the end of the service in the church centre, there are opportunities to talk to some people who have been presenting today. So I think those will be in the church centre. So do make yourself available. Do go and speak to people afterwards. As I said at the beginning, our story is, you know, we started worshipping here in 1980, but we actually went to Malaysia in 1987 as Tiapan partners. And when we were there, we got to meet a couple called Dave and Daphne Bakewell. And this church has been incredibly generous in supporting them ever since. We've got a video that's coming up which will tell you almost nothing about the work that they do. For reasons which are fairly obvious. But at least this introduces you to Dave and Daphne and their two children. And I'll try and fill in a few blanks after the video.
As you can see, we're still learning how to make videos, but hopefully this short clip will give you some idea of who we are and some of the things that we do. Moses prayed to God, "If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And God was pleased to answer that request. Along the same lines as Moses, we'd like to ask you to pray. Firstly, that our intimacy with God would continually be growing. Secondly, that he would show us favor, especially regarding the children's future now as Catherine prepares to go to university. And thirdly, that he would remember to show mercy to this people who are still largely unreached. And although they are increasingly hearing the gospel, we pray for a widespread response. Thank you so much for watching and thank you for your continued partnership with us.
So, as you can see, not a lot of information there. So the point I were trying to make is, actually, this is a very ordinary family working in a country in the Far East where actually they can't say a lot about what they do. Their two children are now obviously young adults and adolescents, and you will notice that Rebecca has a learning disability, quite a severe learning disability, and Catherine is considering how she's going to get to university. They're a family. Dave works as an environmentalist, and that's the way he earns money. He's also a very keen bird watcher, and pay him to take him to see the birds in the country in which they live. Some of you probably recognize where they live, and Dave and Daphne have been here on a number of occasions, and those of you who want to know more about where they work and what they do, there will be times when they come and we can tell you about what they do. But this is a very large gathering, and so we're quite cautious about the work that they do. But let's pray for them, just recognizing those prayer points before we move on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Dave and Daphne, Rebecca and Catherine. Daphne's broken arm there as well, so we pray for healing for her. And we recognize that the challenge they have of sharing the gospel in a country where to say you're a Christian is for some groups of people incredibly dangerous and life-threatening. And we pray for wisdom for them as they reach out to these people and as they live their life on the street and openly, that they will be able to bring Christ, make Christ alive to the community around them. So we commit them to, and we pray for safety for them, because it's a very difficult situation for all of them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to say the creed together, so I'm going to ask you to stand as we do this. This creed was written, created by Paul Woods, who unfortunately is not with us today. Nadine's husband. So he has written this specially for us. So would you stand? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the first line, and we're all going to respond by the yellow sections. Okay. Yeah? We believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Upholder, and Redeemer of all. We believe that God loves the world and sent his Son, who now sends us. In mission, we work with him to create, uphold, and redeem in our small way. We believe that God directs and empowers the church through his Spirit, who is with us. In mission, we rely on him for guidance and strength. We believe that God wants to use everyone in all places and at all times. In mission, we communicate the gospel through word and deed as we go about our lives. We believe that God treasures all traces, cultures, genders, and ages equally. In mission, we proclaim and live the gospel in partnership with others. We believe that God is concerned for heart, mind, spirit, and body. In mission, we speak to bring his wholeness to all people. We believe that God affirms family, society, politics, and the arts and sciences. In mission, we influence all areas of human life, gospel, salt, and light. And now, Hilary is going to talk to us about Gisenyi in Burundi, and after that we will take our offering.
Right, good morning. Could we have our first slide, please? Just to orientate us a little bit. First of all, we are in the middle there. Can we have the arrow, please, Peter? Thank you. Okay, the area we have been singing about in Southeast Asia, or talking about where the Bakewell family are, Southeast Asia and Chinese, so that's over this kind of area, China there and Southeast Asia generally around there. So that orientates us a bit. Gusenyi is in Africa. Can one of the youngsters tell us where Africa is? Can go back to the previous slide, please. Anybody like to come and use my laser pointer and point out Africa for us? Anybody do that quickly? Okay. You press this little red button and point. No. That's America. That's South America. Try again. That's Africa, hooray! Yeah, that's Africa. Thank you very much. Well done. Okay, can we have the arrow, please, Peter? Okay, and Burundi is right in the heart of Africa, in the middle just south of Rwanda. So welcome to Burundi. Let's look at our next slide. And the capital is Bujumbura, which is at the head of Lake Tanganyika, and Gusenyi is just outside Bujumbura. There's a red arrow coming up to point out where it is, and it's in the hills just outside the city. If you head out, can we have a next slide, please? Okay, so that's looking down from the hills. You can see Lake Tanganyika in the background, Bujumbura, and Gusenyi is just there, just on the hillsides, close to the city. Next one. So to get there, you take the main road that heads north-ish, northwest, and then you turn off, and that's the road into Gusenyi, and it's a lot more challenging still when it's winter, when it's the rainy season. Okay. The church there is very lively, the people are very friendly, and I thought Rich would like to see the drum kit there. Okay. Please go. Things haven't always been so happy in the village. There was a 13-year civil war in Burundi that ended in 2005. When I first visited 4 years later, the people were still trying to rebuild the church. Most of the buildings in the village were gutted completely. And they'd had problems because when the rains came, they couldn't afford timbers for the roof, so each time the rains came, the walls got washed away, and they had to start again. So we sent an offering to help them buy the roof timbers, and this was when I visited 3 years later. They'd got to work. It didn't take them 3 years to do it. They were very quick. But this is the ladies' choir in that same church leading worship. Right. Now, it's summertime, and there are children. How many of you have been, there are lots of children in the village, how many of you have been out buying school uniform ready for next term? Hands up. Oh, lots of people. I think I ought to be seeing some parents' hands up too, because I bet you've been paying for it. Yes, that's right. Next slide, please. We've missed one. Have we? Ah, beg your pardon. Let's go on to the next one. That's it. Okay. This is the president, I won't say quite. There were elections in Burundi in 2015, about the same time as ours. They were preparing for them. The president's been sworn in for a controversial third term of office, and there has been a lot of unrest and people fleeing to neighboring countries for security. So things are rather tense, and Burundi certainly needs our prayers for peace and stability. Okay. And after the church service, people turn around, people chat outside the church, just like we do. And if we turn round, then we start to face the school. And that was my link to school. I've got slightly out of sync with myself. So the school uniform, let's go on to the next slide. This is what the children in Gusenyi wear for their school uniform. So the primary children there on the right wear a sort of yellowy uniform. It's rather different from Blake's school, isn't it? The secondary uniform is a little bit more similar to ours. Next, click. And if the what was the secondary school is just opposite the church, and that has not yet been rebuilt. But the community, the church, have been wanting to re-roof that classroom to use it to reach out to members of the community and also to give them more space for their own Sunday school. We sent money for the roof, and you can just see a little bit of the roof in the corner of the picture. And these are church members who are mixing concrete, cement, ready to repair the floor. And it's really quite hard work. And when they've finished it, they mix red paint in with the top layer, the smooth layer. So lots and lots of buildings and houses have red floors in Burundi. Okay, and this is the Sunday school now in there and able to enjoy a little bit more space and to be able to have their own activities rather than being in the main service the whole time. Before they go out, the service leader will pray for them, and they all come down to the front to be prayed for, and they kneel down on the floor. So that's a slightly different way of doing it. And you can see just how crowded the building is there before they go out. It's a bit like Cogs, isn't it? So they really need the space, and it's really nice to feel that we have been able to help them in that kind of way. So some of the things they do are similar to us, and some of the things they do rather differently. And one of the things they do rather differently is the offering. And in the Bible, they say a lot about bringing and presenting your offerings to God. And the offering is very much part of your worship. You bring it to God, you bring it forward, and you present it. And with your offering, you present yourself as part of your worship. They have special baskets. And I have one that came from Gesenyi. You put your money, your offering, in the basket, and then at the end of the offering, the service leader will come and place the lid on the basket. This morning, we'll place this basket here at the front, and because there are a lot of us here, there's a separate table at the entrance of the Blake Chapel, between the Blake Chapel and the chancel, a Burundian basket, a flatter one that says, God is love, which is a good reminder for us that we give back to God because he loves us and has showered so many blessings on us. And then we'll bring the offering up here at the end. While we do this, just to give you a flavour of worship in Burundi, we'll have the men's choir. Worship is frequently led by the choirs. A visiting men's choir is actually leading the church in worship, but it's very similar to what it sounds like when it's one of their own choirs. It's quite loud. It's not actually an offering song, but it's them leading worship. So just come up and present your offering while we're doing this. And Rich and some assistants are going to do some drumming as well for the rest of the offering until we have finished. So may I invite you to come forward then for the offering.
Well, that was different. Thank you very much, drummers. That was excellent. And the dancing was impressive, I have to say. We have to tell Simon, actually, there's a better way of doing offering. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you, that you are abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
The reading today is taken from Isaiah, the Message, chapter 58, verses 6 to 9. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord.
Now, we turn to closer pastures. And Andrew Kingston is going to talk to us now about... And you're going to talk to us about Christians Against Poverty and work in WIC.
Well, hello, and it's lovely to be here and to share in your service. I have to declare an interest. I married an African, and I have an African child. My wife was born in Nigeria. Oh, thank you. I'm afraid I can't greet you in the Igala language, but and my son was born when we were in Uganda, so Sibiotiano Bambo and Mai, which is hello everybody from Uganda. So it's lovely to be here and to be part of your mission service, and I am a very old age of 65, but 2 years ago I decided that I needed to have a rest from my employment, and so I gave in my resignation in a slightly earlier way, or if you like, I took retirement at the age of 63, and I wondered what God had for me. By the way, I come from your the other local church, which is Welcome Evangelical Church on the High Street, and I found myself moving towards the prospect of using some of my experience in counselling students in the University of Oxford to come and see if I could do something similar here. Anyway, that's the background to me. By the way, my wife is white-skinned and comes from Northern Ireland, rather than black-skinned coming from Africa, but she was born there. Okay, in Isaiah chapter 58, God is telling the people what he really wants. Now, I know that it's dangerous to take texts out of context, but what if you read Isaiah chapter 58, you will see that through Isaiah, God is saying, I don't want religious dogma. It's talking about fasting. And what the people were doing at that time was making a big deal about going without food, which of course was a part of the tradition of the Jewish people, but they were making a big thing of it, and they were seeking to get God's blessing as a result of going without food. And what Isaiah was saying, that it wasn't the form of godliness that he wanted, it was compassion and action to put right what was wrong. Something more practical, making a difference to people who were oppressed and in need at that time. Of course, the people who were oppressed and in need at that time were within their own communities. And thus, we find ourselves in the 21st century surrounded by need within our own local society. God seems to be saying that he wants his people to worship him through relieving the suffering and abuse of people around them. And we must also remember the exhortation in the New Testament in John chapter 24 when we were told that we should worship God, who is Spirit, in spirit and in truth. So we have an exhortation to re-examine ourselves, our motivations, and our attitude towards worshiping the God whom we know and whom we trust. The reality is that we're surrounded by individuals and families who are really up against life and its demands. Yes, here in Witney, the Prime Minister's constituency, which includes Carterton, not the constituency, but Witney and the area around Witney, which includes Carterton and the villages around us. A national survey in January 2015 found that 50% of people could be in problem debt within just 100 days of losing their job. People like you and I, it only takes a simple change in circumstances like an illness or redundancy or a relationship breakdown to turn affordable credit into spiralling debt. If you like, from controlled debt to uncontrolled debt. Moving people to make very different choices, skipping meals, reducing or turning off heating, and not having any hot water. But the Church of Jesus Christ has responded in these days. We'll be hearing more about Beesom's work in our local area in a minute. And indeed, God has been stirring many churches to provide for practical needs of their struggling communities. But over the last 20 years, in this country, more than 280 churches throughout our nation have partnered with Christians Against Poverty, a Christian charity based in Bradford, Yorkshire, to offer a solution of uncontrolled debt to the people who are suffering in that way. Combining CAPS debt counselling expertise in Bradford with the love and care of the local church, CAP is impacting people's lives and changing them for the better. CAP helps over 11,000 families and individuals each year in breaking the chains of debt and its associated poverty. And last year also, 792 people found faith in Jesus Christ directly as a result of CAP's work on an individual one-to-one basis. So I'm here really to tell you a little bit about CAP and its work, both nationally and in the community. CAP is an abbreviation for Christians Against Poverty. Imagine for one moment not being able to sleep because of worry about unpaid bills, strong letters, and threats of legal action. Well, I've fortunately never been in that situation, but I certainly have lost sleep over worry, and I'm sure most of us have, when we know that we haven't done something or there's something big we have to do that we're worried about. Imagine, as well as that, not eating today or indeed tomorrow, simply because you can't afford to buy enough food and want to make sure your children are fed. Imagine not having family or friends to turn to for help, feeling isolated and desperate, and you can't see a way out. So let's hear about one family who CAP was able to help. Thank you. That was an example of one person, Mandy, and in the church centre afterwards, there's a leaflet which is available for those who are interested to hear more about her situation. She's just a typical person that we work with, and there's also an opportunity to respond to that situation. We'll hear about that a bit later on. In Whitney, Margaret Biddlecombe, who comes from the community church, and myself opened the debt centre in June of 2014, last year, and we have, through our own clumsiness and lack of experiences, sought to make a significant difference to over 40 people in the first year. We work on a part-time voluntary basis, and we have visited people who have heard about our work through different agencies who are working in the community. People like the West Oxfordshire District Council, Connections Floating Support, some of the social workers who were involved in the town and the area, and others, including Beesom. So people get to hear about us and are encouraged to phone into CAP and its headquarters in Bradford. We then go and visit these people. I will take a volunteer visitor with me for both security, and also if there's a different sex situation, it means I can see a lady with a lady companion. And we go into the people's homes. We usually will visit them on three occasions, and we aim to see over 40 individuals or couples in a year, although this will be able to extend to around 60 a year once we have an increasing demand for our services. Where individuals take our offer of help and understand the discipline that they have to enter into to walk the journey with us, we undertake a full appraisal of their finances, and with the help of our head office, who have professionals geared and trained to do this, a professional assessment is made of the best way forward for that individual or couple in order to resolve their problem. This can be in the form of a negotiated repayment program of up to for a period of up to 5 years, or helping them through one of the several clearance mechanisms often referred to as insolvencies. We seek to befriend our clients as well. We are recognising that they not only need the help of a finance sort out, but they also need the human friendship and encouragement as they go into this journey with us. But more, just as important, we recognise that they need to be introduced to a God who is a holy God and a loving God, and who loves them just as he loves us. And so as we come to the end of a meeting, we will seek to pray with the client and ask their permission to do so. If they agree, we will pray for them, pray for any needs that have come up in the discussion, and commit those to God and ask for his blessing on the situation. So this is the kind of thing we do, and I just want to thank you in closing to the COGS leadership for giving us the encouragement and support at the beginning, and to the members of the congregation who are already praying for us and helping us as we move forward in this work. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Let's just pray briefly for the work of CAP. Our Father, we thank you that there has been a vision and a commitment from people to recognise the need, the significant need for managing people's debts within Whitney. We know the significance and the stress that debt causes, and we ask, Lord, that you will provide for people to befriend and help those who are in debt and expand the work of CAP within Whitney. And we bring before you Andrew and the team here before you in Whitney. In Jesus' name, amen. And we carry on the theme of supporting people in need in Whitney as we hear now from Julia Morgan about BSUM.
Well, good morning. As Andrew's already intimated, it's a great joy for us to work in partnership. I think perhaps BSUM meets the more immediate needs of food and so on of some of the clients that Andrew and Margaret are working with. But just like CAP, BSUM is a national Christian charity. There are quite a number of branches across the country now, and the Whitney one began about 10 years ago to serve West Oxfordshire. We're committed to building a bridge, being the bridge really, between those of us who wish to give our time, our skills, possessions or money to those referred to us by professional support workers in the area. So we work, like Andrew, with the Children's Centre, Connections, all these different groups who refer people to us. And, you know, we've heard a lot about mission this morning, and Jesus talks so much throughout Scripture about us as Christians working with the poor, serving the poor. And it's easy perhaps for the children to think, well, this is just for grown-ups. But I just wonder if there are any 8-year-olds here this morning. Are there any children that are 8? Oh, there are a few here. Well, I was reading in scripture the other day and just came across this verse in Jeremiah 22. And it says, Josiah, the king Josiah, he was actually 8 when he became a king. Now, can you imagine you 8-year-olds becoming a king and ruling in Jerusalem? And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And it says here in Jeremiah 22:16, he, this is Josiah, defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Now that last question is for all of us. Is that not serving the poor and the needy? Is that not what it means for all of us, says the Lord? So 8-year-olds, there we are. There's a king who made some decisions from, he was ruling for 31 years, but he always defended the needs of those who were poor and needy, and that's a real lesson to us. Now COGS, thankfully have done a lot, the young people at COGS, and we're just going to look here at, you may recognize some of these people. They're doing a project for a family who were not able to decorate their home and it had become quite run down. And here they are doing the stairs and landing, which I think is always a difficult one. and the next slide shows Olivia and a team working in somebody's garden. We frequently have projects that involve gardening. I remember one that was, the brambles were over our heads right down to the end of, perhaps to the end of the church. And we just went in as though we were in Africa, the jungle, just, you know, chopping it down. So there's great fun, great experience to be had in Beesham for all ages. recently in July, as the next slide shows us, we partnered, Duke of Edinburgh is another one for young people, an opportunity for them to get involved in giving their time and skills. Here they are painting a child's bedroom. So quite young teenagers and older teenagers are able to get involved in Beesham. But in July, we partnered with the King's School in Witney, and 77 pupils aged between 11 and 15 and 25 adult helpers, that was parents, staff members and Beesham team, gave over 800 hours of time over 3 days. And we were involved in decorating. I was involved in a painting a little boy's bedroom, and he wanted a white ceiling with bright red walls. So that was quite an interesting experience. And then we put transfers and so on. And a lot of the teenagers did gardening as well. And the next slide shows, we had amazing feedback from all these projects. Here's one from a professional support worker. The difference was amazing, a real transformation, and it has made such a difference to the family living there. That was a garden that was totally overgrown. The children couldn't go out. It was dangerous. And the young people cleared it, and now the young people, the children, have got somewhere to go. This is a parent of a King's School child, a teenager who was on the team helping to do the project. My son has talked of nothing else since Tuesday. He had a great day. We heard about the tools, the team spirit, the challenge, and the lady they helped. So it's affecting the families whose children, the young people, have been involved. And the last one was a social worker for a family that we support. So glad your team has done this for the children. I know it will make a difference to those children who have a stimulating room each. I think that was ours, the red one. And then the girl had a pink one with princesses or a bit or something. And it was a great few days for the King's School and the Beesham team and the wider community. Many of you in COGS give so much to Beesham, and we want to thank you so much. Judith Ledden's away this weekend, otherwise she'd be doing this. but thank you so much for those who regularly give food in the basket there, those who've done projects, sometimes Connect groups have offered to do a project. We've continued to give food parcels in the area, the West Oxfordshire area. They were increasing from 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. We've had a slight drop this year. Now, I don't know quite why that is, but we're still giving out food at quite a rate. And just on Friday, I was out with a family of six children. The mothers had to move from the north of England because of a domestic abuse situation. And daily, we are seeing these situations right here in West Oxfordshire. It is amazing. It's opened my eyes since I've been working with this season. I've been amazed at the level of need in this area. So we're just going to pray now for Beesham. Our greatest need, I think, is we've lost our wonderful warehouse in West End. There was a misunderstanding with a new landlord. We're now housing all our household items and food in, well, I don't know what to call it, really. It has got a roof and it has got a door and it has got walls. It's probably a shed barn. Not ideal, but provision for the moment. We're then moving in October to New Yat. We have a place on the industrial estate, obviously not ideal because it's out of Whitney, certainly not ideal for the food because we have to go quite often in the week. So really join us, please, in praying that we'll find somewhere long-term in Whitney, particularly in the immediate for the food store. And also, you know, anyone who's interested in helping us, working with us, Jenny Allen is going to be in the hall afterwards and will be available for any more information. We've got some magazines we can give you. But thank you all very much for your support in prayer, in finances and in giving. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the work of Kat and Beesham. It's a privilege to work with Andrew and Margaret. And Father, thank you for calling us all into this work of serving the poor. Thank you for the King Josiah, just a young lad, understanding the need to support the poor, to follow Jesus' words, to love our neighbour as ourselves. And Father, we thank you for all the work you're doing through these charities. And we pray as we offer ourselves as individuals, as a church, that we will continue to serve you, to serve the poor, to be your love and your arms and your provision for these people who are going through such tough times, which could be any of us at any time. And we just pray specifically for long-term provision of a warehouse or somewhere in Whitney where we can actually operate more effectively, particularly for the food supplies. And again, Lord, we just offer our work to you and say, may yours be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hannah and Andy, where are you? Would you like to come down and just tell us a little bit about what you've been doing over the last week? And while they're coming down, just to remind you that we're collecting some goods for the harvest time, for which will be distributed by people. When is that to be by?
When is the... Anyone know?
Anyway, where we are collecting dry goods, we're collecting things for visa. Thank you.
We were kind of press ganged as soon as we walked in, so we didn't really have time to think or prepare or bring any pictures. But I wanted to tell you quickly about this man I met 2 days ago. He was an actor. He is an actor. He's worked in Broadway. He's worked in Broadway. He's worked in the West End. He lived in London for 5 years. He's the last 40 days. 40 days ago, he said goodbye to his wife and his two children. He said, I'll see you in a few months. He spent thousands of dollars travelling to end up where we met him. This man's called Aman. He's from Damascus in Syria. 5 years ago, he left his job in London. He went back to Syria to start a new life with his wife and his children. And then a few years after that, the war broke out. He decided to stay in Syria as long as he could, but now he's realised with Daesh, with IS there, with the government, it's no longer any chance for him to be safe with his family. He spent thousands of dollars to travel to Calais, where he started an immigration case with the UK authorities. However, he's not heard anything. He's still waiting. He's still hoping. He told us, I will not try and get in a lorry. I will not try and get in the Eurostar. I've been to England before. I have friends. I have family here. I want to come in legally, and I want my family to be safe until my country is safe. And this is the story of 3,000 people in that camp, of 5,000 people in Calais in total. On Thursday, last Thursday, we decided to just buy a Eurostar ticket and head to Calais. God had really laid the situation on our hearts, and we had no idea what to do or what we could do and why we were going. We feel we've seen a lot, got a lot we can do. We feel we can make a difference here, especially as we live in the Prime Minister's constituency, especially as we live in such a affluent area, but we're still trying to mull over the experiences in our head and work out what we can do in Whitney to respond to this humanitarian crisis.
Going into the refugee camp, it was totally different to what we expected it to be. I would say it was a positive experience, although obviously not a good experience. We've both been emotionally drained, yeah, emotionally challenged, definitely. And we did just want to say, we know some people are praying for us. Thank you very much for that. We really needed it. And thank you for those who gave donations for us to take. They were gratefully received. And just, yeah, just thank you. Thank you for the support that we've had.
I asked at the beginning of this service the question, what would we do? And I gave you three options: praying, giving, and going. We've had some opportunities to give, we've had some opportunities to pray, and we've just heard some responses to the going. Some of those opportunities are overseas. Not many of us are called to do that. But we've been hearing today of opportunities to go here in Whitney. There is there's no need to just think of, I'm not ready. We had a family of three and we went. We don't need to have reasons. There are no barriers. The barriers are only in our minds. So just ask yourselves, God, where are you asking me to go? We have BSUM, we have Christians Against Poverty, we have our neighbours. There are a variety of things sitting here waiting for our opportunity to share God's love in action here in Whitney. So let's pray as we close. So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us such great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Radiate the peace of God wherever you go. Speak as Jesus spoke. Touch as he touched. Love with the love of people who look forward to heaven. May you restore God's love in the lives that you meet today. Go today in the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.